So welcome to Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Frederick Criven, the author of the book titled The Paladin Chronicles, The Paladin and the Princess. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Frederick, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here today.
Yeah, and can you share a little bit about who is Frederick Criven? Like a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm a cook for a living. I've always wanted to write a book, and me and my wife decided to sit down one night and start doing it together.
Yeah, and you know, it's not every day that we get into talk to a writing duo. You know, can you share a little bit about how you do, you know, these Paladin Chronicles together?
Me and my wife, we both play Dungeons and Dragons, so we drew a lot on that. That's how kind of we came up with the story, and we use stuff from our own life together. Been together since we were kids, so we've been through a lot. So we drew upon a lot of that for inspiration, things that have happened to us over time, and we just let it come out and went from there.
And what's the process of writing? Do you take turns writing chapters or work side by side?
Work side by side. Sometimes one of us will, you know, write a chapter and then we'll go back over it together. And then we decide what we keep. But once one of us gets an idea down, it's probably going to try to fit it in somewhere or work it out so it fits.
Yeah. And, you know, fantasy is a vast genre. What inspired you to set this story in the world of tennis?
Well, originally, the world the book is set in, I came up with it for a game of D&D originally, and we just modified it from there and used ideas we had in the past when we first started writing and coming up with the story, and eventually it all started to come together somewhere along the line. And it's just, writing fantasy has always been a dream of mine, and with my wife by my side, I got to do it. And I wish she could have been here today, but she's with our son. One of us had to take him.
Yeah, and you know, the heart of this book seems to be, you know, a classic quest. A youth knight, a princess, and, you know, this looming war. Can you walk us through the central plot of The Paladin and the Princess?
All right. The central plot is this young knight. He's just become a knight. He's returning from a war. That's where he earned his knighthood. And he's known the princess his entire life. They're reuniting after being apart for several years. And just as they're reuniting, another war breaks out. But this one is worse than the last one. Is the invading army has a dragon at their disposal, which is allowing them to kind of steamroll their way. And they set out on a young knight and the princess, Azul and Bailey, they set out on a quest to find a sword of Valende, an ancient dragon slayer, and claim the power of the paladin so they could fight the dragon and those who were commanding it. There's a bit of a mystery that comes up in the story relating to the young knight and who his actual parents were and the secrets surrounding that. So there's a bit of an intrigue and mystery to it.
Yeah, and Azul Amatus. you know, the Azul is a compelling character. How would you describe his strengths, flaws, and evolution through this book?
He's a young man. He's trying to accept his place in the world, that sometimes he's got to put his personal wants and desires aside to do what needs to be done for others, to something been a philosophy he was raised with, that you put others before yourself, which is the main theme of the book, that, you know, caring and helping those who need it, protecting those who can't protect themselves is the main theme of the book. So, and I tried to make Azul embody that, but also show that, dude, human nature, it's going to be conflict with, you know, the wants, your own wants and desires and all that. And Bailey's kind of naive about certain things. She's never gone off to fight anyone. And so you see Azul kind of trying to help guide her and help her in some of the same lessons he did.
And, you know, many authors draw inspiration from real life. Like, are there any personal experiences or observations that influence the creation of this chronicle of the print, this chronicle, Bulletin Chronicles?
Well, let's say what, my dad always tried to teach me to never put myself first when there's others dependent on me and things like that, and always try to do what right. So I tried to draw on, you know, my upbringing, and so did my wife. We had very similar upbringing, and she was a nurse for over 10 years. So she's a very caring and kind person, which is something that we tried to put into the character of Bailey, that kindness, generosity, which is a thing I also believe in. And, you know, we drew on our what we know.
Yeah, and I also saw that the world of Tanis and Rockport feels like it has deep lore. How much of the world did you build before starting the story?
Well, actually, since I drew upon what I from Dungeons and Dragons and other fantasy things, when, you know, settings, when I was building my own, you know, building this world, and I tried to, you know, make it as deep involved and make it have a rich history and show that, you know, it's a, you know, living, breathing world just like ours. There's people, and they're trying to, you know, everyone's trying to get by and do what they think is right, you know, and there's, but at the same time, I tried to show that in this world, there is physical good and evil. These are not just, you know, metaphors for things. In their world, you know, evil is considered a tangible thing. You can feel its presence in the world. There is a looming darkness on the edge of the light, kind of feel. You know, I wanted to reflect that in the people in the world, that the people, there's people who want to do good, and there's people who actually want to do evil and bad. So
yeah, because I saw that beyond the battles and the quests, what are some deeper themes readers might discover within this fantasy journey?
Besides the battles and the I would say it's a story of morality, always trying to do what's right. And I know a lot of people draw inspiration and hope from the fantasy genre. You know, a main thing in fantasy is hope. And I hope that somebody reads it and it inspires them to be a good person.
Yeah,
that's something I hope they find in their inspiration to do better and be good, be a good person, and give others a chance and treat them fairly.
Yeah, and also family seems to play a major role, especially with twins and mysterious parentage. What was that, a deliberate threat from the beginning?
Yes. Well, my wife has actually has a twin brother, so that's another thing we drew on from reality. She really helped me work. Well, she really worked in that dynamic and helped me do it when I was writing parts for them where they interacted, to try to help with that, because I wasn't sure exactly how well I would handle that part. I have siblings, but none of us are twins. So we drew upon that, and we are very family oriented. Like I said, right now, my wife's with our son, at home with our son. And it's something that I believe in family, and it's family. When you have a good family, things are always better in the world for you.
And also writing as a co-author, especially as a family member, you know, partners, brings its own dynamic. Like, were there any surprise or challenge along the way?
A little. I got writer's block for about 3 months, and my wife didn't want to write without me, and she had all these ideas, and she filled up a little notebook with ideas and everything, because she didn't want to try to write that much without me. So when we sat down and went through it, and I think most of it actually was winding up in the second book, which we've already started writing, the follow-up.
And also, I was going to ask, what do you hope readers feel or think about when they finish this book?
Well, I hope they think it was at least a decent book, and I hope they want answers to the questions it raised and want to find out what happens to the characters. And I hope they get invested, they feel invested in the story, like it wasn't, a one and done thing.
And
there's plenty more to come.
Yeah. And also, for readers new to fantasy, how accessible, how easy is this book to read? It's a good entry point.
I would think it's a good entry point for someone new to fantasy. It would be easy to read. I tried to spread out the lore so it wasn't heavy with it early on, or too much for someone who might be new to the genre. I would say for someone who picks it up for their for the first time reading fantasy, that they should be able to get into it really easy.
Okay, and what advice will you give? Those people who are thinking on start writing, especially those dreaming of building a fantasy world of their own.
Well, go for it.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a great feeling. Even if you don't publish it, or you go an alternate route of getting the story out there, or you just feel like you need to write for an audience of one, do it. It's a great feeling to see your words come alive on the paper or on the, however you choose to write. And honestly, I think everyone has a story to tell. Just not everybody is willing to take the steps to tell it, or feels like they want to tell it. But I think everybody does have some story they're capable of telling.
And right now, have you received any early reader feedback or reviews that has stood out to you?
A little bit of the reader feedback that I've gotten is that it's worth giving it a shot. A couple people I didn't even know that are friends of mine keep asking me when I'm going to put the second one out, and it's like we just got this one out, and the second one's a bit of ways away, I think, and they want to know what happens. They're invested in the characters, so I find it the feedback I've gotten so far has been pretty good. I haven't gotten a lot of reviews yet, but the couple I have look good.
That's nice. And have readers started asking you about the next book already?
Just a couple of people I know personally. They want to know what happens, but so far, I haven't been reached out by other readers yet. Not reached out to by other readers yet.
And are you working? Yeah, because I was going to ask, are you working on any new projects or some, like, you know, new, this part two probably?
Well, I don't know how long the series is going to be, how long until I get to the end, until me and my wife get to the end. But we are working on the second one and possibly a third, maybe more. We want to see how it goes.
Okay, and where the listeners can connect with you or find your books? Can you tell us a little bit of where they can buy your book?
Well, I'm available on Barnes & Noble's website, Amazon, Books A Million. I don't have the full list here. There's quite a few. I was recently featured in Explore Authors magazine on their website. You can find a full list of retailers if you search by book, by the title, of course, or the author. They have the full list. It's available in paperback and ebook.
Okay, and there's anything else that you want to say to our listeners or to, you know, end this podcast?
I want to say thank you for giving me a chance to talk about my book, and I hope someone heard this interview today and is either inspired to buy my book or inspired to write their own story. Either way, that would make me happy.
Yeah, for us it's a pleasure to have you, Frederick. It's really an honor to have you here, and you know that you can share this this book and also the process, that it's not easy. You know, you mentioned it's not easy to write, and also right now that you're writing with your wife. So this is a process, and as you say, also please give it a try if you're thinking to start writing. And Frederick, it has been a pleasure to have you here in Authors Radio. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into your world and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check his book. Thank you for tuning into Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. And join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.